Thank you, Brother Maxwell. My. That reminds us of the great truths and victories that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Him alone. Amen. Sometimes you get help from friends and others in this world, but sometimes in your life it'll come down to it where it's Christ alone and you can't look anywhere else. Amen. I want you to go to the book of Daniel with me now. I want you to find it with me. I want you to go over to Daniel chapter 5, Old Testament, of course. And if you get to Ezekiel, go back to your right. Ezekiel's not that hard to find if you just flip past Isaiah and get on over there. You heard the young ladies a while ago singing about the boys in the fire. You read that in the book of Daniel. We read some really big stories. Most every kid has heard something about Daniel in the lion's den. You got some kings that show up, rulers, powerful rulers that show up in the book of Daniel. I'm going to, for sake of time, abbreviate a little bit with one this morning in Daniel chapter 5 to kind of illustrate a truth that is very apparent today. I want to title the message for them to have something to write down in the tape room up there. I want to call it At War with Our Past. At War with Our Past. Daniel chapter 5, we'll start in verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said unto the king, this is King Belshazzar, let thy gifts be to thyself, give thy rewards to another. This king was trying to bribe him to get some good news out of him, but the prophet wasn't buying it. Let thy gifts be to thyself, give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. This is the famous story in the Bible of the fingers of a man's hand writing on the plaster of the wall. None of his bureaucracy or college professors could interpret it, so he has to send for the man of God, has to send for Daniel. Daniel comes in. He wants to give him some gifts, but Daniel said, give them to somebody else. Verse 18, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father, actually it was his grandfather, the word in the Bible father covers several, Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, language, trembled, feared before him, whom he would he slew, whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast. And his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou his son, O Belshazzar, grandson, thou hast not humbled thine heart. And I want you to get this thought. Though thou knewest all this. He's saying, Belshazzar, you knew the history. You knew about what your grandfather did. You knew how God dealt with him. You knew it all. But he's saying you ignored it. You ignored God. Verse 23, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. You understand what he said? He said, you took the things captive out of the real God's temple. You mocked him by drinking wine out of the sacred cups. You see, folks, it's a contest of God's way back then. It's still a contest of God's today. And he told him that the God that really holds the breath in your hand, he's the one you refuse to glorify. Then in verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him. And his writings was written. And the writing, and this is the writing that was written, meaning, meaning, tickle you farson. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many God have numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tickle, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clove Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now the third ruler, you see, Belshazzar's dad, Nabonius, was away in battle. His granddad was Nebuchadnezzar. So with that daddy coming back and being the first ruler, Belshazzar to be the second, so he offered Daniel the third to be the third ruler in the kingdom. Verse 30, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. I want you to think again. King Belshazzar knew the history of his grandfather. He knew how God had dealt with him. And yet he defied the same God, ignored the history, if you please, ignored that he was offending him, and blasphemed into the place of taking his dirty, filthy booze and drinking it out of the sacred cups that came out of the temple in Jerusalem. He's defying the God of heaven. And he knew better. He knew better. And judgment came. God's judgment came. The fingers began to write on the wall. Scared him to death. You read the whole story, it scared him so bad, the Bible tells us his knees smoked together. You ever hear somebody say that? He was so scared, that's where they get it, right out of the book of Daniel. That's how scared he was. And we got a lot of cliches about what happened here. For instance, he ignored history, and he got in trouble for it. Somebody said, forget history, and you'll have to repeat it. Somebody said, all that men learn from history is that men do not learn from history. And we're in that spot today as I look around and see today and see the attack on our past. You see, here was an attack on the past. Here was a king said, don't matter what he did to my grandpa, I'm me, I'm big, I'm powerful. And next thing he knew, he saw the fingers writing on the wall. And the judgment came. I look around today and I see the very same going on in our nation today. I see an attack on our past, on our history. See it being rewritten, denied, and perverted. Our nation today has a great virus. You say, oh, I heard about the corona. It's not the corona. It's the virus in the inside. A virus of ignoring our history, ignoring our God, and asking for God's judgment upon us. That's the virus on the inside. It's an enemy within. This perversion has been in our schools, taught in our schools. Some of you are familiar. There's a program they introduced into our public schools some time back called 1619. That 1619 goes back to 1619, back to the days, as it were, of the pilgrims. And it's a program initiated in our school because supposedly the first slave was brought to America in 1619. And this is the program. We around the world as Americans are known for freedom, but we're teaching our kids we're known for slavery. Big difference. That's the program of 1619. It's a fake, it's a farce. All over the world, as we read in Sunday school this morning, the word bond, B-O-N-D, having to do with bondmen, bond servants. You have that through the Bible. It still goes on in the world today. It might come as a shock to you, and especially those into this kind of program. America did not invent slavery. And while it was heavy in the South of America, it was also in North America during those days. We need to be balanced on that sort of stuff and understand something. But this program in our school is perverting the teaching concerning it. And the truth is, America stopped slavery. We killed it around the world better than any other nation ever has, though it still goes on in Arab nations today. When the native villages of Africa fought with each other, captured each other, brought each other out to the seashore, and sold each other to the Arabs, put on the boats, and sold to Europe, sold to England, and sold to America, the markets. Go back and trace it out. We did not start it, but the Civil War was fought that ended it. And a lot of our forefathers that are taught to be disrespected by our kids, it's because today they're wanting to use that thing to destroy America, and it's fake, and it's a farce, and it's a fraud. We need to be wise about that, folks. Our forefathers, most of them were good, God-fearing men. Thomas Jefferson in our school should be lifted up and taught. But you know what kids learn about him? They learn he wrote the Declaration of Independence, but they mainly learn he owned slaves. So they teach that big time. The truth of the matter is, he's the one that declared all men are created equal. When America began to expand and move from the northern colonies and the southern states up and down the seaboard, when we began to move, we moved west. You know the pioneer days? You've heard of John Wayne, hadn't you? I'll try to get you on before you understand me here this morning. The pioneer days. When we went out into the Northwest Territory, that piece of land was ceded from the state of Virginia, where our government was. And when it was ceded and pioneers could go out there and claim property and expand and all that, Thomas Jefferson, the one that is known now for owning slaves, Thomas Jefferson put a bill on the floor and had it passed that that part of the territory would be illegal to let slavery be practiced there. Now, why don't they teach kids about that? No, they don't. They don't. You know, truth of the matter is, America had the slaves brought over. We didn't go after them. And we participated, and I wish we hadn't. But then what would have happened to them if we hadn't? Think a little deeper, folks. Think a little deeper on some things. I want to say this. Today's war is to try to make America look bad, to destroy our forefathers, to destroy our history, to not teach it in balance, to not teach it truth, and especially to not see God's hand in our history. That's what it's all about. America's made a lot of good out of evil. And that is in our history, but it's ignored today. So there is a war on our past. There is a war on our history. No doubt about it. And today the war is on. And because it is, we are seeing the results here in the present. Especially here after the election. All of a sudden, those that did not vote the liberal way, we need to be reprogrammed. We need to be re-educated. Do you understand that when the Marxists and the communists take over a country, that's the first thing they do is go after those that was against them? That's why you go over to Europe, go over to Russia and other places, and every now and then it crops up in the news, somebody else uncovers a mass grave with thousands in it because the opposition was killed and buried. You do know what I'm saying to you is true, don't you? Well, I want to say to you, we may not yet have the mass graves in America, but we got the same attitude that produced the mass graves. And that attitude is showing up very much. When Mr. Biden got in, I saw a little bit of it last night. He sat there and mumbled through his mask and signed the executive orders. You see that? Anybody see that? Stack of them. And he's signing them off. Do you understand what that was doing? It was undoing everything that was godly that was passed by the previous president. And you say, well, I didn't notice it. You'll notice it pretty soon when you pull up to the gas pumps. You're going to notice it when gas hits $3 and then it's going to hit $4 because we were energy independent and we're exporting our energy because of the XL pipeline out there running to Canada. He had hardly taken his seat before he signed an executive order to kill the pipeline, to kill 1,000+ jobs, even with Canada saying, please don't do it, we got these investments. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm saying to you, fighting our history, fighting who we are, fighting our freedoms, we got some results happening right now. Present results. Gas at the pumps will go up. One of the things that made me mad, and I saw several young girl, teenage and a little older athletes complaining that he signed an order to make it possible for transgender men to compete in the women's sports. And a lot of those girls that had worked hard to make achievement, all of a sudden, they can't compete against men. You do understand that the male is stronger than the female, don't you? Now, there may be some exceptions, some of you wimpy fellows, but the average man is stronger than the average woman, amen? Let's face the truth a little bit. So if you're going to have the man out there pretending to be a woman and he can run the 100-yard dash faster, he can jump higher, duh! All of a sudden, that's what's going on. And so he signed a bill. Now, that's unfair. Even some of the liberal ladies are saying that's unfair. Of course it is. So, as a result of attacking our history and attacking truth, we're going to see the gas at the pumps higher. We're going to see this transgender thing just continually ramp up with no restrictions on it. And we're going to see more babies die before they're ever born and after they're born. Right. With our tax money paying the bill. Oh, man, that's bringing God's judgment on America. It's bringing God's judgment on the shedding of innocent blood. That's what the Bible calls it. You can't get no more innocent than babies that have never lived to do right or wrong. Don't even get a chance to live. Some of you young couples, you pray for babies and you pray for the wife to carry that baby full term. And I've been through that as a pastor so many times with so many people. And it'd be so precious, and it is precious. Can you imagine humanity killing off their own offspring? Animals don't even do that. And now we're legalizing it big time. President Trump put some restrictions on things like that that are now being destroyed. For instance, I talked to you a while ago about how that in the classrooms, teaching against our forefathers, teaching against our true history. So President Trump had a bill called the 1776 bill. Did you know that? It hadn't been in power long. You know what it was about? It was for the schoolrooms to be forced to teach the truth and not teach this perverted history, this attack that they had on our past. He had that. It was under the title of 1776, the year that we celebrate. But now that's been killed with one sign of the pen just in the last 2 or 3 days. So that 1619 and other perversions can be taught. You see, folks, freedoms are being lost. They want to reprogram 75 million of us. I'm going to be real hard to reprogram, I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen. A lot of them are wanting everybody to be blackballed. You can't publish your book. You can't get on social media. You can't be on a program. Did you see where quickly, within 3 days, they reached into the Voice of America and Radio Free Europe, the radios that has been used since World War I and World War II, broadcast in America to Europe and other places, that they went in and quickly changed the personnel, did that in just the last few days. I'll tell you something, some of you listening to me on the radio right now, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. The conservative voice in America is not only being quietened, it's being outlawed. Being outlawed. That's the results I'm talking about with the attack on our past. Freedom's lost. Trying to reprogram everybody. Say, what is it, preacher? What's behind it? You ought to read, if you haven't, even though I don't recommend it, it's not a Christian author, and it's got some little dirt in it, for sure. But the theme of Orwell's 1984, and you're hearing that more and more now, I mean, it wasn't that popular book when it was written. Orwell's 1984 was written in 1948. He got the title by reversing 48 to 84, and he made a prediction, and for a lost man, he hit the nail on the head of what America and the world would become by 1984. Well, by 1984, he was right on point, but now it's really blossomed out. And the one world kingdom of everybody being under a camera, everybody being spied on, is right now on us, folks. Right now, and has been for a good while. Do you know that almost everywhere you go, somebody's making your picture? Somebody's listening to you? Watching you? Sure. That's Orwell's 1984. It's a blueprint, the book is, for what would happen. Erasing history was a big thing. The man, I have time to get in it deep, but the man in the book, we'd call him the hero. Actually, he's persecuted. His name was Winston Smith. Winston Smith, under this Big Brother government, his job was to sit before a big screen. He and many, many others like him, in little cubicles, football field full of them, and to take every book, every letter, every newscast, everything that had any true history in it, anything true about our past was to be wiped out, was to be changed. He had, like it was, a big old hole here that he just threw it into, and he was being watched while he was doing it. Everybody spying on everybody. That's where we've come to right now. And it was Big Brother government all the way, all the way. It changed things that you would not even believe. And we're seeing things change today that you would not believe. Erasing our history. Attacked on the family. The family was wiped out in the Big Brother government. Now, they could have kids under certain programs because the state still needed kids. But the kids didn't belong to the family. They belonged to the state. And the kids were raised to be little spies for the state. Now, that's Bible. That's Bible. You just saw in the news recently where some young lady turned in her mother because she was at the rally in Washington. And that's going on all over. And so the parents, and under the Big Brother government of Orwell's 1984, they were terrorized by their possibility their kids were going to turn them in, spying on them. Scary? What's scary is it's being fulfilled. Fast. Very fast. Words today that we are hearing that we never heard before. Such words as doublethink, thought police. Those are realities now to us. Had time I'd explain that a little more, but you're learning words that we're seeing now. Seeing the family under attack. In the Big Brother government, the kids belong to the state. And real family unit, as we know it, is an enemy of the state. You don't have to go back too far. Go to China. Go to Russia and some other places where Big Brother government took over, and they fear the family. They fear the church. They fear the Word of God, because that all equals freedom. Freedom of thought. Freedom of movement. And under Big Brother government, all that's being closed off and closed in on. Ah, it's quiet in here, but I'm going to preach to me if I can't preach to nobody else. Amen? Now we look around on doublethink. Doublethink, I can't go into this deep because of time, but doublethink, anybody ever read in school about Aristotle? Wasn't he supposed to be a smart guy? Yeah, he gets quoted a lot, you know, fellows like that. Aristotle said that contradiction is the basis for reasoning. Now, here was his, and he was right. Here's what he's talking about. He was saying, discussing both sides of an issue, coming to what is the best truth out of that. Well, that's being denied. See, you can't have a critical voice. You can't have a disagreeing voice with Big Brother government. So what you have happening today is the law of contradiction is being cast aside and is being practiced just the opposite. Let me see if I can give you maybe some kind of illustration on this. Things can't be both. If somebody wrote a book back there, it's in our counter, it's called Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. And that says it. Things that are different are not the same. But the world says they are if I say so. No, no, truth is still truth. For instance, let me give you an example. Destroying the law of contradiction. It would be wrong. It would be, in the recent example, we've seen it, where a governor can say you can't go to church without a mask and without social distancing because you might spread the virus. But the same governor can say it's okay to go down there on the street and riot and burn down this building without a mask on. See, that's a contradiction there. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've moved to a mess where all of a sudden truth is lost. We're in Orwell's 1984 and past it, way past it. You know, we fight the past if you want to, but all truth resides in the past. Lose your past, you lose your foundation. You lose the past, you lose your measuring stick as to what is right and wrong. You understand what I'm saying? You lose your family unit where dads taught sons what was right and wrong, and you lose a country that don't know what is right and wrong. They have nothing to measure by. They have no foundation left to go by. And we're seeing the law of contradiction means you can't change the past with its truths. Those truths, have you ever heard that? We teach it in our Christian school. All truth is God's truth. You can't change that. You can't change that. Yet the world today is trying to change that. Now, Belshazzar in the text, he ignored the past. He ignored grandfather's problems with God. He ignored what God did to Nebuchadnezzar and how he sent him out to eat grass in the pasture. He ignored God's judgment. And he tried it himself, and he got even worse judgment. He lost his life. He lost his kingdom in the very night that the fingers wrote on the wall. You know, the truth is that war on the past has given us present results. Our war on the past is going to impact our future, big time. Loss of stability. Yardstick broken and gone that we always had a measure to measure civilization by. You've had a foundation to retreat to. No longer. This old king ignored it. He didn't get by with it. I want to say to you personally today, rebel against the foundation if you want to. Rebel against the truth if you want to. One day the fingers of a man's hand will write on the wall about you. And God's judgment will be pronounced. It's already pronounced in his book. The past is important, very important. The truth is still truth, whether it's rejected or not. Now, let me switch just a little bit to this thought. The past is important. And some of you right now aren't saved. If you died today, you wouldn't go to heaven. Because you have never got away from your past. It's holding you down. Some of you think you've done something so bad in your past, you can't be forgiven. Well, man don't have an answer for it. But I got good news for you. God does. And God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, and that his blood cleanseth from all sin. You want to take care of your past? Come to Jesus. You can't do it otherwise. You can't live it down. You can't pay for it. You can't get forgiveness or even forgetfulness. But in Christ, you get all of that. You can come to him and be justified as though you never done wrong. Whatever in your past the devil pulls up to you and holds to you, Some of you women, maybe you had abortion. Some of you men, I would not even begin to try to list the things you are haunted by. You want to get peace about them? Come to Jesus. I lived 22 years of my life before I came to Jesus. A lot of that I lived against God and for the devil. Brother Wiggins was joking at me here the other night, and some of you enjoyed it too much. I saw you. Telling about my car being parked outside the high school and everybody looking at it because it had a big bullet hole in it. Well, it did. You know what? That don't bother me a bit now. It's under the blood. New life when I met Jesus. The devil can say, how about that? Okay, how about it? Used to sing a little song, and I love this. When I first got saved, I don't sing. I don't know nothing about music. But in Sunday school, in the Sunday school class they put me to teach, we would have some opening songs. And one of those songs was, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They're buried in the deepest sea. Boy, I got a hold of that. Jesus buried them in the deepest sea. No more can they torture me. No more can the devil shake those in my face. They're gone. They're gone. That passed. Don't worry about it. Say, somebody else get up here and tell another bullet hole story. So what? They're gone. They're buried. Jesus' blood covered it all. Amen? Can you say that? Have you trusted him? Have you let his blood cover your past? Have you? Or is it still being used as a club over your head by the devil to beat you down, keep you fearful, keep you miserable? Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful truth, to come to Jesus and be forgiven. Justified as though you never done it to start with in the eyes of God. How wonderful that is, that wonderful truth of God. Yeah, the past, the world's at war with it, because in our past, God blessed America. In our past, God has blessed his church. In our past, God has blessed his people. And that same God is still alive. And just about the time Belshazzar thought he was the winner, he found out he was the loser. And the judgment fell. I want to say to you, the judgment's going to fall. The only safe place from God's judgment is to be found in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing him as your Savior. Do you know him as your Savior this morning? I pray you do. You could change it. If you don't know him, you could come to know him right here this morning. You can leave that seat, come forward and receive Christ. Have your name written in heaven, cleansed from all sin, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it's not there, you could have it there this morning if you trust Christ as your Savior. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, what a glorious day. What a wonderful day. When I walked in a church and heard a preacher declare what Jesus Christ had done for me, how he loved me while I was yet a sinner and paid for my sins, and how if I received him, I could get not only a new clean start, but become a new creature with the power of God living within me and the peace that come from knowing that past was taken care of and what the future held. I pray this morning, Father, if there's one in our midst that needs Christ, they're miserable over their past, they're miserable over how they're living right now, I pray they'd see the victory that's in receiving Christ as Savior, trusting him, letting him bear their sins in the deepest sea. Pray you'd bless the invitation now. For that one that needs to come, that you would urge them with your Spirit. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing, "Will You Come?" Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that...
How about you this morning? Will you come? Will you come?
Come to thee, O Lamb,
Have your name put in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have your past taken care of? Have your future assured? That's what you can have in Jesus.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Will you come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment, please. Folks, it's very serious stuff I'm talking to you about this morning. America's having its past revised, perverted, destroyed. The obstacle to doing that to our nation is God's truth, God's churches that hold that truth, God's word. So no wonder we're seeing attacks in all kind of places. How we're seeing true voices taken off the social media platforms, pulled from the radio waves, and countries that are ruled by dictatorships. Time is moving fast. I knew some bad things were fixing to happen, but I cannot believe how quick they've happened. Stop building the wall instantly. 100 days to come on in free. I don't know where that crowd that you've seen on TV marching in, did they have on masks? No. Have they been vaccinated? No. I'm back to that law of contradiction now. Double speak. But we sheep have been asleep so long, is one of the reasons it's happening. Too bad. But God's fingers may be writing on the wall right now, giving us some warning. Time to wake up. Did God judge in history? Did he judge Sodom and Gomorrah? He did. That ought to teach us something. It didn't teach old Belshazzar much that his grandpa had God's judgment on him, so he went right on his own headstrong way, and it was too late by the time the message on the wall appeared. There's a lot of things we ought to be doing. We ought to be praying. But I want to tell you, if you're not saved, you are playing Russian roulette with your soul. You are gambling with the devil, and you're going to lose. Please hear what this preacher's saying. If you value where you're going to spend eternity, I pray you will. All right, folks, we thank you. All right, I always sad when somebody don't get saved, but also I say to us believers and Christians, we may not have very many folks here that aren't saved. And next week we need to get some folks here that are unsaved. use every way we can to invite them, encourage them to come. And all we'll do next Sunday morning is tell them how to be saved. On a big Sunday like Anniversary Sunday, we try our best to make salvation as clear as possible. Other times I may rip and roar a little bit, like this morning, because the rest of us need it. But if we can get the lost to hear the most important thing, and that is that Jesus loved them and died for them, we'll be doing that. We'll be doing that next week. And I want you to come back tonight. Now, we'll be doing a little bit information tonight, as you saw in the bulletin. A little information tonight on some of the changes we're about to go through and make here. And we'd like for you to come back for that. And it's all good. I've only had one negative vote so far. That was my wife. I'm joking about that. But I think I am. Anyway, we'll be addressing that some tonight. And I think you ought to come if you care about it. Especially if you're a church member, you ought to come. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Brother Perkins, come on, dismiss us, please.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the message that was just preached, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we can put our sins in the past, Father. And we thank you that they're under the blood. Lord, Father, as we dismiss this morning now, we pray that you take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.